Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1-3 and 7-day passes. Watch the chase for the cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by Chuck McDowell and Medical House Calls, Middle Tennessee's best medical care in the comfort and safety of your own home. For more information, go to medicalhousecalls.com. Medical House Calls, where the nearest clinic is your home. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Nick Keyser here with you on this Thursday morning. We'll be joined by Predators assistant coach Derek McKenzie coming up at 7:15. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports with us from 8 to 8:30, talking all things NFL. Joe, speaking of the Preds, they lose last night 5-2 to Carolina. So the first game coming off the Christmas break. Had the heartbreaker against Dallas back last Saturday where you lost when you had a 2-1 lead and you gave it up with 15 seconds left, lost in regulation. Came out last night, lost 5-2 to Carolina. I thought a game, Joe, where basically special teams were the difference. Predators ended up with 37 shots on goal. I actually thought they did a lot of things pretty well last night, but they gave up 3 power play goals to Carolina. Sebastian Aho had 4 points for the Hurricanes last night, and just opportunistic goals by Carolina, some high skill goals. Beautiful goal by Andrei Svechnikov last night. If you didn't see it, it was gorgeous to watch. And Preds have some plays available to him. Nyquist gets a goal, then kind of takes a shot after the play. He's out for about 10 minutes, comes back in there. O'Reilly gets a goal. But I thought O'Reilly had a couple of really good looks last night. Forsberg had a couple of good looks, and they just couldn't get him to go. Some opportunities for them to score where they just didn't finish, didn't bury last night. And you know, Kochetkov, who was in goal for Carolina, made 35 saves. He was really good. So a game last night, Joe, where I think overall, like I thought they actually played pretty decent and hung in there. But when your penalty kill is allowing 3 goals in a game, it's going to be tough to win that one. And that was the difference last night.
Yeah, the result might speak to, that Dallas game lingering. But I don't know that it necessarily, that that's actually reality. By the way, You picked Forsberg, right? Picked Click?
Yep, sure did.
I just wanted to make sure. Okay. I mean, watch your back. You know, if you're walking around Nashville today, just watch your back. That's a big dude. You don't want a butt check from Forsberg to walk down the street.
Yeah,
you know?
Had a nice chance right from like the side of the net too, and just put it right off the bar. It was great. Enjoyed it.
The Robbie curse.
Yep.
And of course, tough for, you know, to Saros to have that kind of an outcome. Like you said, man, I mean, special teams, if it's going to be that bad, it's tough. It's tough on a goalie. So we do get to see a little bit of a scar off, though, on the ice. How about that?
Yeah, 6 saves for him yesterday. I said it last night. He's got a 1,000 save percentage. Future's looking bright in net. You know, he looked pretty good. I mean, he didn't get tested all that much. He did have a couple of high-quality chances that he had to stop there. We talked about Cody Glass yesterday, Joe. So Cody Glass draws back in there. Yakov Trenin, the healthy scratch, which was interesting. So Trenin's a big guy on the penalty kill, too. And obviously, the penalty kill did not go well. They tried out Cody Glass on the penalty kill a little bit yesterday. He also took 2 offensive zone penalties. So he had 1 interference call, which was borderline, and then a tripping penalty, which was just clear and you can't do. Both of those coming in the offensive zone. Even the interference penalty, like it's probably getting called most of the time. So another game yesterday where Glass gets back in there, doesn't go very well. And my guess is, and I don't know this, my guess is he's probably going to be the odd man out coming up on Friday again. Just he's not been able to generate any traction. And last night gets another chance at it, and it just does not go very well for Cody Glass.
Yeah, it's too bad. And I am surprised that Trenin would be – I mean, I assume that's just a 1-game trial thing.
I would assume so.
Yeah, well, it's too bad for Cody Glass. As we talked about him yesterday, you know, it's just, it's not, not working out for him. So is he a guy that, you know, would it benefit him to just sort of, you know, have a little break? Is there still some physical limitation going on there that's hurting him? You know, I don't know.
Well, they're also reaching a point where, you know, O'Reilly scores on the power play yesterday. Nyquist gets a goal. So that top line of Forsberg, O'Reilly, Nyquist, still playing pretty well for the most part. Like, they, I don't know that they are quite as dangerous as they have been, but playing pretty well for the most part. They need more for some other guys. Like Novak, not a whole lot going on right now. Evangelista, not a whole lot going on right now. And those guys specifically, it's not been going very well in the defensive zone for them lately. They've been hemmed in a lot, and they got to find a way to get that figured out. You know, Sissons has had a great year offensively, and he continues. He gets, you know, he's right in front of the net last night on the power play, whacking away at the puck. It gets loose. O'Reilly gets to it, and he gets another assist. So Sissons continuing to pull his weight offensively, but we're starting to see guys like Novak and Evangelista and Sherwood kind of fade a little bit offensively. And Tomasino's been playing well lately, but they're becoming a little bit too reliant right now on O'Reilly, Forsberg, and Nyquist. And they need some more guys to step it up a little bit offensively.
Well, and this is part of why I didn't think this was a playoff team, because you have to expect some ups and downs from these young guys. You can't expect all of them to come in and produce, you know, like you hope that they do long term. And so it's like there's a gap there, you know, and just not enough accomplished offensive, you know, performers on this team to make up the difference. Like Novak is a guy we were so interested in this year. Like, okay, look at what he did last year, kind of quietly. Look at the production, you know, what is that? What is he going to be long-term? I mean, do you have any different feeling on that now?
You know, it's interesting because, like, before he got hurt this year, and he was basically at a point per game again. I mean, he was one of their best players offensively. And I still watch him play, and he can do some things with the puck that a lot of other guys that they have can't do. That line just right now is getting their butt kicked in the defensive zone. So, like, they're spending so much time and energy chasing the puck and trying to get the puck back that there's just not much going on for them offensively right now. So it's been a bit of a struggle to really get a good feel for them lately because they've just been chasing the game so much. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Since he's come back from the injury, Novak has not been as impactful. And how much of that is him? How much of that is, you know, maybe some of the guys that he's playing with? He's kind of shifted up and down. Parsonen's been with him. You know, they've had Sherwood back with him. They put that Sherwood, Evangelista, Novak line back together the last couple of games. It's been, you know, okay at times in the offensive zone. But, hey, you know, he's got a contract to figure out too, right? Like, he's an unrestricted free agent at the end of this year. And I think he was already a pretty complicated guy to figure out. Like, the production, the last half of last year and the first part of this year suggests to you that he could be a top six forward. I still am not totally bought in that Novak is a top six forward on a playoff winning team, you know, if that makes any sense. Like, I think he could be a good third line guy, but they got to get better in the defensive zone. Like, the Novak, Evangelista, they're getting their butts kicked right now in the defensive zone, and that's not good.
Well, and it kind of speaks to, you know, what Barry Trotz has talked about so much. You know, it's like, you know, these guys, you want to see these guys, you want these guys to get opportunities, but when they do get, if you're on a team where they're going to get that kind of opportunity, they're going against the best guys in the world, you know, the matchups are not great. That's, you know, and so it's like, you know, the younger teams like this, again, there's a gap, there's a need, there's a void to be filled, but that also means, I mean, there's a ton of pressure on you to be able to handle your business and be physical enough and all that. And also this team absolutely needs you to produce. And so, you know, I think that's where when things, they're not playing as well. And I thought it was interesting last night, Brunette talked about, I think he said something kind of like, seemed like early in the year, like a young team, you know, and I think that's going to happen in stretches for this team. It's just like, there's just no avoiding it. Looking at the lineup,
Fred's got a little lucky last night on the injury front. So Nyquist gets hit by Svechnikov after his goal. I didn't think it was like a huge malicious play or anything like that, just some incidental contact. But he goes down, gets pulled from the game. He ultimately returns, so some good news there. Fabro was banged up on a goal as well. He ended up getting back in the game. And Parson had made a great move where if he had finished it off, it may have been like the number one play on SportsCenter last night. But he makes the play, you know, Kochetkov makes the save, and then Parson wheels around to the front of the net and takes a puck right off the side of the face. So he had a stretch last night, like in the second period, where guys were just dropping left and right. And you're like, geez, what's going on out here? All of them stayed in the game and returned. So a little bit of a lucky night from the Predators, dodging a bullet there. But it's a big back-to-back coming up for them this weekend. Got Detroit coming up tomorrow on the road, and then Washington on the road on Saturday. A couple of Eastern Conference opponents. They need to start coming away with some points here and to avoid a slide. They've lost 3 out of 4 now. So you win 13 out of 16, and now it's starting to go the other way a little bit. Got to see if you can fill that gap if you're the Predators. Speaking of that, coming up next, we'll be joined by Predators assistant coach Derek McKenzie. We'll get his thoughts on what he's seen from the team lately. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Thursday morning. And we go to our 102.5, the game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Predators assistant coach Derek McKenzie. Derek, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing all right, guys. How are you doing?
Doing great. Appreciate good. You taking time to be with us this morning. So, Derek, we were just talking about the game last night, a 5-2 loss, a lot of special teams, especially in the first part of the game. What did you make of just kind of the special teams part of it, and how difficult is it to establish kind of a flow in the game when there's that many penalties, especially early in the first part of the game?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good point. I thought, you know, early on in that game, you know, obviously Carolina can be, you know, kind of one of those teams that skates and plays, you know, that fast type of hockey game. And you know, we were certainly concerned with that. I thought the way the game started, you know, it felt like we had kind of matched their intensity and the game could have kind of teetered either way early on. And then, you know, a couple calls go their way and they grabbed the momentum and it was, you know, kind of tough for us to recapture it. I thought we, you know, to your point, as the game went on and we settled in a little bit, you know, we made a push as we always do, but, you know, they kind of won that battle a little bit and ultimately was the difference in the game.
Derek, what did you see from the guys and I guess what was the concern level of the coaching staff just in terms of bouncing back from the way that Dallas game ended?
Yeah, we talked about that. I mean, this team's pretty resilient. And I mean, you know, I think there's been times where, you know, you are a little concerned as a coach, you know, especially early on when you don't know the guys, you don't know the team, and they don't know you. But they've done a really good job. I mean, you know, one thing this team does, you know, every time they step on the ice is compete. And, you know, there's going to be some nights where you might not have the energy you want just based on the schedule. But, you know, we never question their compete. And then I also think, you know, probably in a sense, good timing for that. I mean, I don't think anyone's Christmas was quite the same the way that game fell in Dallas, but I think it did give us, you know, 3 days to spend some time with, you know, family and friends and kind of, you know, wash that one out and get back to work. So I don't think that really, you know, resonated in that game. I mean, you know, that was, we got that one behind us, but again, a tough league to win in. And when you lose one like that, and then you have a team like Carolina coming in, I mean, that's how, you know, some losses can compound. So we definitely got to nip it in the butt.
Derek, what's the day like yesterday? And look, it's the same for every team, so everybody's dealing with it. But you're off for 3 days. You're not allowed to practice. You get a morning skate, and then you're right back into game action. Do you think league-wide you can sense a little rust after the Christmas break? What's that day like preparing for the game as a coaching staff?
Yeah, I think it's relatively the same. I think we mixed in a couple different drills maybe in the morning just to get the guys, you know, their bodies turned on, and probably threw a little extra video in just on a few things that we wanted to clean up in the morning just because, you know, they hadn't seen tape in a few days. So those would have been some of the small differences. But, yeah, it's one of those things where, you know, you just kind of pick up where you left off, hopefully. And quite frankly, I thought, you know, some of our guys who, you know, we have to use a lot, you know, look pretty fresh in that game. So I think, you know, I wouldn't say they looked rusty. If anything, I thought, you know, our guys, you know, looked pretty fresh for the most part.
So, Derek, we've been talking about some of the younger guys. Obviously, the top line's been so good for you guys, and it's dangerous every night. So many guys in this team are kind of ascending to bigger roles this year, and I know it's kind of a, you know, find out about a lot of these guys kind of year. But what are you seeing just in general from the young guys? And I guess what about the idea just of, you know, tougher matchups, the grueling nature of the season and things like that? How do you think they're handling that?
Oh, really good. I mean, you know, I alluded to it earlier. It's a tough league to win in, and it's a tough league as a young guy. And you know, you get into these games between, you know, 30 and 60, and it's kind of the dog days, right? It's kind of where you know, especially as a young guy, it can be a little daunting at times. You look, you know, it's a you know, every second, third day kind of schedule. They might not be used to that intensity, and I'm sure there's times where they question whether or not, you know, they can bring their best every night. You know, I think, you know, universally throughout our team, as far as those young guys, you know, still trying to break through, I think, you know, you're getting what you get. I mean, it's not every night that it's perfect for those guys, but I think, you know, you're starting to see a little more consistency, and you know, that's some of the growing pains that we knew that we'd have to go through. I mean, when you have a young team like we do, in a sense, you know, there's going to be certain nights where, you know, maybe one guy's not at his best, and then the next night maybe it's somebody else, but they're a tight-knit, great group of guys that, you know, support each other and want to see each other succeed. And, you know, obviously then you follow that up with some great leadership, obviously, with some of the guys Barry brought in that, you know, really kind of taught them how to manage things and you know, work and their work ethic at certain times. So it's been fun to watch them grow, and obviously going to be an intricate part of this team for a long time.
Reds assistant coach Derek McKenzie with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, Derek, you get the one power play goal last night, had a couple other really good looks on the power play. Overall, what have you made of the progress of the power play and what you've seen from that so far this year?
Well, I mean, you know, I've been fortunate enough to be around Andrew Burnett for a very long time. And, I mean, you know, he definitely has, you know, a special way of kind of working with those guys. And it just seems to, you know, flow the way he sees and breaks down some of the penalty kills on the other team. And I think, you know, you mix in some of the supporting staff that is trying to find ways, you know, analytically and whatnot, to just put guys in the right spot and see where they're the most dangerous. So, you know, that's kind of the background of it. Up front, it's just playing hockey, which he encourages a lot as well. And I think, you know, those guys like obviously Phil and O'Reilly and Gus and that whole, really that first unit, I mean, you know, they've seemed to kind of now get comfortable with where everybody is, and you know, they're just competitive, you know. And when you really break it down and look at some of those 50-50 battles, and you look where, you know, Ryan O'Reilly scores a lot of those power play goals, I mean, that's just a skill that's you know, some guys are just have a knack around the net. I think him and Sizz have been really, really good, especially as of late. And then, you know, obviously you got the guys on the perimeter that have just found ways to deliver pucks into those areas where it becomes dangerous. So it's been a big part of our success, and I think, you know, that's attributed to, you know, a lot of things. Obviously the players on the ice, and then I think the way, you know, Andrew prepares them every night has certainly helped.
In terms of the penalty kill, I know Cody Glass gets a little more look there. What about I guess that move and where you feel that unit is right now?
Well, I mean, again, you know, Danny Hinote, obviously, you know, Stanley Cup champion and the guy that, you know, works pretty closely with the penalty kill. You know, again, it's a work in progress. And I think, you know, penalty thing, it's, you don't really know why, or you can't put your finger on why it's successful. It just, you seem to get in a rhythm on the power play, on the penalty kill, and then, you know, 5 kills turns into 15 and turns into 20. And I think, there's been times where they're right on the cusp of finding that rhythm, and maybe it's a tough break, or, you know, even last night, look at the first one that kind of deflects off a shin pad and then bounces through. So some uncharacteristic things that just kind of, you know, some tough luck that I think hasn't gone the penalty kill's way. And, you know, I think it's right there. And I think, you know, those guys, they come here every day and work on it and believe in it. You know, I think it's just a matter of time before things start kind of swinging their way.
Well, Derek, really appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. Good luck coming up on the back-to-back this weekend in Detroit and Washington, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, guys. Appreciate it. Take care. Happy holidays.
Absolutely. You as well. Predators assistant coach Derek McKenzie, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Row. We'll take your thoughts. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Speaking of the Nashville Predators, I got some tickets to give away. Be caller number 5 at 615-737-1025. Caller 5 will win a pair of tickets to see the Preds take on the Chicago Blackhawks coming up at Bridgestone Arena on Tuesday, January 2nd. 615-737-1025. Be caller number 5, and you'll win those tickets. Coming up next, we'll get into the bizarre Russell Wilson situation that's brewing with the Denver Broncos. And apparently, Joe, has been brewing for some time with the Denver Broncos. We'll have more on that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Make your silly underdog picks today for your chance to win weekly prizes. You can play at thegamenashville.com or the 102.5 The Game app. Silly Underdog Picks presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, live from our 102.5 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Thursday morning. Appreciate Derek McKenzie, Preds assistant coach, for being with us in the last segment. If you missed that, you can search Robbie and Rex Road, Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast, thegamenashville.com, and you can check out all things Robbie and Rex Road. Joe, an interesting situation going on in Denver with Russell Wilson and the Broncos. So you look at where they're at right now. So they were terrible to begin the season. They got beat 70-20 by the Miami Dolphins. They couldn't stop anybody on the defensive side of the ball. The offense kind of looked like more of the same, and it looked like they could be on the path to being the worst team in the league. And then they turned things around. They've gotten themselves to 7-8. Where they're technically still alive for the playoffs. Now, it's unlikely that they're going to make the playoffs, but technically the Broncos are still alive in the AFC playoff race. And they appear to be benching Russell Wilson for the final two games of the regular season in favor of Jarrett Stidham to come in as quarterback. Russell Wilson obviously signed a huge deal with the Broncos, 5 years, $242.6 million that he signed in 2022. Had the Nathaniel Hackett experiment that went horribly wrong. Sean Payton comes in and is tasked with cleaning this thing up. So Russell Wilson next year, Joe, no matter what happens in 2024, is guaranteed $39 million. However, he is also guaranteed an additional $37 million if he can't pass a physical in early March. So the Broncos are trying to, I guess, nip that in the bud, make sure that he's not at risk for injury these last two games, so they're not on a hook for another additional $37 million that is guaranteed if he can't pass a physical in March of 2024. So it looks like the writing is on the wall, and they're trying to move on from Russell Wilson. Apparently, conversations have been going on all year long about trying to get Russell Wilson to adjust that injury clause in his contract. He hasn't done it, and they threatened to bench him. He stayed in there, and now apparently that Sean Payton and the Broncos have had enough. They're benching him and are taking him out of the lineup for the final two games. What do you make of this decision by the Broncos, Sean Payton, and what this could mean for the future of Russell Wilson?
Yeah, I love, you know, Sean Payton in his presser yesterday is like, well, you know, there's a business side, but this is about football. It's about me excited to see a little Jarrett Stidham out there, baby. We need a big W. Yeah. Yeah, okay, Sean.
Thank you.
Yeah, and it's, first of all, like, I think so differently, obviously, of when Sean took this job, I assumed, okay, so he thinks that, you know, he can – have great results with Russell Wilson after last year was so bad in Denver. And, you know, it's wild. You know, he's got 26 TD passes. I mean, he's had some really good games, but it's clear that Sean Payton can't stand him. I mean, that was obvious in the loss at Detroit, you know, the sideline blow up. So it's so interesting on all these fronts. One, what's the interest level around the league for Russell Wilson? Like, the basically, the money makes a trade, to me, almost just a non-issue. He's going to be cut. He's going to be out there. The Broncos are looking at $85 million in dead money spread over 2 years, which is unprecedented. It's a lot of dead money. And, of course, had our friend Jared, not Stidham, not Jarrett, Jared Stillman, not Stidham, texting us yesterday about the cap. Like, you know what? Go to the Louisville game. Shut up. Watch Louisville lose to USC. But it is a lot of dead money, and it's going to hurt them a lot. And also, like, what are they going to do at quarterback? They're going to be picking, like, you know, in the teens. So
right now, I think they've got the 13th pick.
Yeah. So, I mean, that could be, yeah, it could be like maybe JJ McCarthy from Michigan, like somebody like that, if that's the way they're going to go, or else they get out in there. And who wants Russell Wilson? I mean, Russell Wilson's too good to not start somewhere, right? I mean, I've said that about Tannehill too. I guess at some point it can't be true of everyone, but I feel like this has been a bounce back year. We've also, as time has gone on from his time in Seattle and Marshawn Lynch, everything, it sounds like his teammates largely really don't like the dude, and he makes them like get with his secretary if they want to like give him a high five.
Yes.
So it's really, and that, there's no way that helps him, but he's still, I think, too good to not be a starting quarterback in the NFL next year.
Well, he's been better significantly than he was a year ago. So he's top 10 in touchdown passes. He's top 10 in the league right now in passer rating, but the offense, and Sean Payton's talked about this for weeks, it's just kind of sputtering. They can't get anything done in the red zone. You know, they've got basically no consistent receiver. Like, Cortland Sutton's a good player. You know, the Jerry Jeudy situation, that's not worked out the way that they hoped it would when they picked him. So it's kind of a mess offensively there, but he has been better than he was a year ago. And like I said, they're in the playoff race. Now, they were so bad to begin the year that they dug themselves a hole that's probably going to be too difficult for them to climb out of. But it is interesting to me that Sean Payton has determined that it's, I guess, untenable this quickly into the relationship. Like, I'm with you. I thought when he took the job that he thought that he could work with Russell Wilson, he could fix Russell Wilson, and that he could get the team to being competitive and try to compete for a Super Bowl. And obviously, like, that, you know, they're not a Super Bowl contender, and they're probably not going to be with Russell Wilson. So there's that part of it. But, like, is Sean Payton going to sit there through a rebuild and go draft another quarterback and then spend the next few years trying to build up the roster that way? It's just, like, it feels to me that, like, if Sean Payton was going to take a job, that he would have taken a job trying to win right now and has quickly departed from that.
Right. So I guess I have to read the situation. I mean, the contract was massive, right? I mean, like you said, they've been trying to get him to alter it, but massive deal. So I have to think that just being around Russell Wilson, and look, you go back to preseason, I feel bad, I don't have the credit on this, but there was a story with some very pointed things that Sean Payton was saying to Russell Wilson about, you know, about how he needed to be away from the field and all this type of stuff. So, like, it's been, but it just seems like just being around him a little bit has totally changed. Like, he must regret it, right? Taking the job. I mean, but now I think he's probably stuck with that. And, you know, look, the dead money, can you overcome it? Can you adjust contracts, all that stuff? Yeah, but it's going to limit them. I mean, it just is. It's going to limit. It's going to slow down. They're going to be in some cap trouble, and they're not going to be able to do everything that you need to do, you know, that a team that doesn't have that much dead money can do. So I think, if you get the right quarterback in there, you can make up for a lot of that still, right? But I don't know what they're going to do with that. And again, like, Russell Wilson tweeted out, whatever, like, you know, God's got me, looking forward to the next step, something along those lines. So, I mean, he knows. And apparently, according to Diana Rossini, for us at the Athletic, you know, he's known for a while that, this was going to be it. So I'm interested to, you know, to ask Charles at the top of the hour too, like, who wants Russell Wilson right now? I mean, to me, he has, you think about when he left Seattle, it was like, oh my gosh, Denver, look at what you've done. Man, here, Orange Crush on the way back. And like the whole Russell Wilson, it's a little bit of an emperor has no clothes kind of thing with him, with all the stuff coming out about him.
Well, and then look at Seattle. So Seattle makes the playoffs last year with Geno Smith as quarterback. Yeah. They look like they're getting ready to make it again, or at least are going to have a chance to in the last couple of weeks here. with Geno Smith and with Drew Lock at times playing quarterback. Like, it's, you know, I thought when Russell Wilson was gone that they were done and that this was going to be a rebuild, and they got a chance to make playoffs both years in a row. And it looks like Pete Carroll was the smart guy after all in that situation, that breakup in Seattle.
Yeah, no doubt. And it kind of also looks like, I mean, you look at the whole thing with Russ, and it's like, I mean, he was tremendous, but he was also like, you know, that they were such a dominant defensive team. And it was kind of like it didn't have to all be about Russ. You know, he was the young QB on the rookie second round pick, rookie deal, and playmaker, fantastic player. But, you know, I mean, that team was led by the Legion of Boom. And then he ascends. We see this happen, like Tom Brady, right? Early days for him, that was a defense and, you know, led team. And then he eventually became the lead, you know, the most important part, you know, the reason they were good. And with Russell Wilson, man, I just feel like, I mean, my perception of him as an NFL quarterback has changed a lot in the last couple of years.
Yeah, no question. I don't know how it couldn't. And, you know, the interesting part about it, beyond the on-the-field plays, it does kind of feel like he's unliked where he goes.
Yeah.
And it's like, because it's weird, because like outwardly he seems like he seems like a goofy dude, but like a likable person, but apparently not. I mean, look, last year nobody showed up to the birthday party, Joe. So I wonder if people showed up this year. Like, was it just he and Sierra sitting on their back porch at the birthday party, hanging out, twiddling their thumbs, or did anybody actually show up from his team this year? I don't know.
Did Sierra like not send the invites like on Insta the right place? I don't know. Is that possible?
Didn't TikTok it correctly?
Yeah. Name me a Sierra song, too, by the way. Do we know any Sierra songs? Does Nick Keiser know any Sierra songs?
I know
songs?
A couple if I hear them. I couldn't tell you the actual name of them, though.
No way.
He said, no way. No way.
Does I don't think so.
Yeah, well, that's okay. Well, so okay, I don't feel so bad then.
We were told by Michelle Knezovic one time, she's like an A-list celebrity.
Exactly. Like, she's one of the great artists of this generation, according to her.
Wait, doesn't
but
she do...
a bad party planner.
Okay, one song. Doesn't she do One Step, Two Step, or something like that? I don't know.
If you can find one before the show ends, let's have an intro with a Sierra song in Russell's honor today.
Yes, it's a tough time for Russell. We need some encouragement on his front. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Coming up next, it's time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning at 745. We'll do that next. This Saturday, tune in for the Transperfect Music City Bowl on 102.5 The Game as Auburn goes up against Maryland at Nissan Stadium. Pre-game coverage begins at noon, presented by Green Trees Company, and kickoff is at 1 o'clock. Get tickets today at musiccitybowl.com. You're listening to Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rexroad.
Why are you holding your hands like that?
I'm trying to get a question in here.
Well, then ask the question. No, I'm just saying, like, you look ridiculous.
This is so frustrating.
What the hell is wrong with people?
It is that time of the day, time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning at 745. I don't know that I'll ever get tired of that Vrabel Joe Rexroad hands clip. It's just one of my favorite things that happened in the calendar year of 2023.
Peekaboo, Vrabel. Who's your quarterback? Peekaboo.
Hey, Mike, who are you playing quarterback? What's going on?
I almost had an impromptu rant, but apparently the party outside my door has ended. Hey, go to Disney, go to Disney World, people. Like, seriously, like, I don't know if you heard it. I had to keep myself muted, like, when we had Derek McKenzie on, because it was just an absolute rager in the hallway here. But
staying at the party, is it hype on them going nuts out there at the hotel?
I don't think they're staying here. I don't know who the heck it was, but it's like, is this fun for you, being in the hallway of a hotel? I mean, you're in Orlando, you know? Go
do something.
Yeah, go. Maybe Harbaugh came to this Disney, too. You can go say hi to him. So, does anybody give a crap that Taylor Swift goes to Chiefs games anymore?
My wife does, yeah.
Okay, so did you guys watch the Chiefs Raiders game?
On and off. I mean, we were doing Christmas stuff, but yeah, it was on.
Like, how many times did they show Taylor Swift? Twice or something? I mean, like,
I think I saw her once, but maybe a couple more times. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, no, I mean, you know, obviously someone has a, you know, I mean, the thing is, you go to a Cowboys game and you're so Jerry Jones five times. I mean, no one cares anymore. And the Chiefs are, you know, struggling right now. And I know that I'm probably, it's my fault for like invoking Skip Bayless. Okay. But like, he actually had the take this week, and I'm reading like this Daily Mail, and I don't even, apparently Clay Travis too, but I don't, like, I can't even take that remotely seriously. I guess I probably should say the same thing about Skip Bayless, but Skip Bayless is actually out here trying to say that, like, Taylor Swift might be the answer to the Chiefs' woes. Like, so, like, when Kadarius Toney lined up offsides, was he like, shake it off? I mean, no one cares that Taylor Swift goes to these games anymore. They're dating. Travis Kelce is banged up. I mean, maybe Taylor Swift give it too hard of a massage or something. Is that
easy?
Well, I said massage. I mean, they have bad receivers. They're dropping passes. Like, how is this in any way related to Taylor Swift? I mean, it's just, you know, there's just no logic whatsoever to it. And again, I understand that Skip Bayless says a lot of stuff. I assume, you know, he dies on the hill of like LeBron stinks or whatever his terrible takes are. I can't sit here and say that I actively engage in, you know, his analysis of anything. But like, is he serious that this would be part of the issue? Like, who cares on the Kansas City Chiefs that Taylor Swift is dating Travis Kelce? It was a big thing in September. By the way, when she started going to games, they were winning. And also, if we're looking for a scoreboard, what are the Chiefs? They're 9-6?
Correct.
Well, they're 5-3 with her in attendance. So what does that make them? 4-3 when she's not in attendance. So maybe they're distracted when she's not there. Maybe that's the problem.
That's below what they've been the last few years, Joe. Winning percentage is not good enough.
This
significantly
is true.
Below.
I mean, you have a point. I mean, what else could it be? You know, Kadarius Toney loves this narrative. You know,
he does.
He's like, yeah, I think you guys may have a point here. You guys really may have a point. It's not my fault.
Well,
I mean, it just, yeah.
Look, the Taylor Swift stuff's stupid. Like, it's like the idea that she's at fault for any of this is dumb. They're bad though. Like, their offense is bad. And it's wild to watch, like, with Mahomes at quarterback and Kelce, like, that offense be as bad. Look, Pacheco's okay. Like, he makes some plays every now and then, but that's it. Like, they've got Pacheco making some plays on the ground. They've got Travis Kelce. Rice is having a decent year, but other than that, there's nothing offensively for the Chiefs. And it's pretty wild to watch. There is a lot of discourse this week, and I don't know how much I buy into it. I think the Chiefs' problem is pretty simple. They don't have any wide receivers. Like, their wide receiving core is among the worst in the league. And when you have a wide receiving core that's among the worst in the league, as good as your quarterback is, at some point, like, you do need somebody to make some plays for him. But there is a lot of discourse this week, Joe, about Eric Bieniemy and how big of a loss has that been for Kansas City.
Well, there we go. There's a legitimate, you know, there's a legitimate storyline relative to their struggles. And I mean, I think it's probably a fair thing to bring up, but yeah, I mean, I think it starts at receiver. And I think this is, I mean, look, they won it last year. And so I get the idea of, like, if you do that, I mean, why wouldn't you trust Patrick Mahomes with basically any group? But this year has made it clear. He can't just go out with anybody and be fine, you know? So, and look, Kelce is getting older and Kelce is banged up. I mean, I suppose maybe love has taken away some of his focus on football.
Maybe you should spend more time in the training room, Joe.
That's
less time
right.
Going to Argentina. What do you think about that?
Yeah. Watching a little more film, a little less time backstage there, buddy. I think so. It's just, and you know, Alan Bellevue says, these Swifties are going to turn on the NFL so fast, y'all. Just wait and see. It's scary how they retaliate. I have no doubt that, like, the Swifties online are probably some of the scariest people in the world. I mean,
oh, yeah.
you know, I'm sure. Actually, Skip Bayless should change his name probably if he's going to go after T Swift. But it really is just if he actually thinks that. And I think it was just a tweet. So I don't know if he's actually gone on his show and tried to argue this point.
I don't know. They've got like Sherman and Michael Irvin on there now. It's terrible. Like I've seen like, I think 30 seconds of it. It was about all I could take.
Yeah, I haven't. I mean, I honestly have not watched.
It's awful.
A second of it. So, you know, it's just but I would like if I saw a segment and it was like, here's Skip making the case that, you know, that Taylor Swift is part of the Chiefs problem. I'd probably listen to it. I would like to hear what he said, because I can't for the life of me come up with like sentences that wouldn't get you laughed at in that regard. So I'd like to see him try.
I will say it was the still shot from the broadcast. I don't even know what happened because I wasn't watching the game at this point, but there's a still shot from the broadcast of Taylor Swift with like her arm around Brittany Mahomes, who looks like she's just terrified as to what's going on in the field. It's pretty funny. Like the picture of her just embracing and consoling Brittany Mahomes as the Chiefs go on to lose to the Raiders is pretty funny.
I think those two becoming best friends is one of the great things of the NFL season. And hopefully it means that, you know, that Taylor has kind of helped Jackson Mahomes calm the hell down a little bit. That should actually help the Chiefs.
Yes. At least he's not.
Not have Jackson Mahomes causing bar ruckuses.
Bar ruckuses and TikToking on the sideline, which I guess he stopped doing. I don't know. I don't recall seeing any of those this year.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. It's like now that people have something else as a distraction, so maybe, I don't know, maybe they need to go back to Jackson Mahomes as the primary off-field entertainment. Maybe we've hit on something here.
Coming up next, we'll be joined by Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. We'll get his thoughts on all things NFL, maybe his thoughts on Taylor Swift, too. We'll have to wait and see. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan tomorrow for Vanderbilt women's basketball. Commodores be at Memorial Gym taking on Fairleigh Dickinson. Tip-off at 6:30, pregame beginning at 6:15. Coverage also available on the 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.
This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or Die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1-3 and 7-day passes. Watch The Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.